Welcome to a Bible message for today, teaching the Bible verse by verse, word by word. Coming to you from the Pentwater Bible Church, a non-denominational Christian church, it is our desire that these messages from the Word of God will draw you closer to God, and that you might experience true freedom in the truth of His Word. Here is Dr. Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, with today's Bible message.
Welcome back. This is Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, and I'm blessed that you could join us again for these messages related to our time of Christmas and the appearance of the Lord Jesus on this world as the Messiah of Israel. You know, God controls human history. And in our last session, we looked at the Magi and we learned exactly who they were and that God had spoken to them through the prophet Daniel. Now, he had put Daniel in a place to influence men that would arrive in perfect timing. And the people that should have known the significance of the event missed it. And the people from way off who should have never guessed what was going to be happening showed up and worshiped the one who said, "I came to the Jew first and then to the Gentile." He said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But Israel turned her back on the Lord Jesus. So he called a people from those who were not formerly his, Romans 9:25. Now he reached out to the Gentiles, and Romans said, and grafted us in. You know, even the unbelief of his own people couldn't stop him from coming. And as we know today that people celebrate Christmas by passing around cards and gifts, and they look at these wise men. They don't know what it is. They don't understand the significance of the presents before the child. There are some of us, however, who have followed the example of the wise men and bowed down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In our message today, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the will of God in leading these Magi so that they would know where to go and how it is that God gives us signs even today. I'm going to read through the verses in Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12 that we looked at in our last session. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and are come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written through the prophet.'" That was from Micah 5:2. "For the Old Testament book of Micah said, 'And thou, Bethlehem, land of Judah, art in no wise least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come forth a governor, who shall be a shepherd of my people Israel.'" Now Herod heard these things, understood them. He talked about this, and he says, "Bring the wise men to me." And he learned of them exactly what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search out exactly concerning the young child. And when ye found him, bring me word that I also may come and worship him." And they, having heard the king, went their way. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Now the star that they saw guided them to Jerusalem. It went from east to west and then to Bethlehem, north to south. This is a special star identified as his star. The star appeared to him while they were in the east, and they knew that it signified the Christ or the Messiah had arrived. Because, you know, God uses stars in heaven to bring messages to this world about himself. In today's message, we're going to explore how God uses the stars to communicate to us, and then we're going to conclude with a little discussion about this special star of Bethlehem. We have to always remember that Satan has corrupted God's message to us, and the message in the stars is typical of that corruption. Nevertheless, Christ told us to search the scriptures, and we must do this to understand what God wants us to know. On the fourth day of creation, God made the stars in the heaven. Now, Genesis 1, verses 14 to 18 says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser night to rule the night. He made the stars also, and he set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." So one of the reasons for making stars in heaven was for a sign. You know, a sign signifies something. One dictionary defines a sign as an object, a quality, or event whose presence or occurrence indicates the presence or occurrence of something else. Now, we're familiar with traffic signs. We see a sign, it tells us to stop, or it tells us to go, or it tells us to do something. The sign in itself is not what it wants us to do. It's an event that it wants us to be aware of. Signs, therefore, are meant just to lead us to something else. The sign in itself, as I just said, is not the end meaning. It's the method employed to direct our attention to something else. Now, in the star, God is the direct object the signs point to. We should realize that his entire creation, which theologians call general revelation, speak to him and coming from him. In fact, God charges all mankind to know him through the signs that he's provided. Look what Romans 1:20 says, "For the invisible things of him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse." Now, God's trying to tell us something about himself through the stars in the heavens. The heavens declare God's creative output. Look what Psalm 19 says, verse 1 to 6. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has made a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat thereof." So this psalm of David is announcing that the heavens declare the glory or the splendor of God's handiwork. Verse 1 is a summary statement. The majestic creation is evidence of the even more majestic creator God. The heavens continually, that just means every day and every night, display the fact that there is a creator. Even though creation doesn't speak audibly with words as humans do, its message goes out to all the earth to witness. The message from nature about the glory of God reaches all nations, and it's equally intelligible to them all. It's a universal language. The stars in the heavens move about a circular path. The band of the stars, if you will, on both sides of this path is called a circuit. Now, we know this today as the zodiac, but that's a corruption of the original, was the Maseroth in Hebrew. Now, the names of these stars, like Virgo, Pisces, Capricorn, Leo, and so on, are familiar to us because astronomers and navigators designate various areas in the sky with them. but Satan has corrupted them for occultic purposes, and they're very far from the original truth. The 12 signs of the zodiac have nothing to say about man, but they have a great deal to say about God's plan of redemption for mankind, from the virgin birth, Virgo, to the triumph of the lion of the tribe of Judah, Leo. The stories he's trying to tell us about are directed straight at himself. He wants us to know and acknowledge him through these signs. Isaiah 40, verse 6 says, "Lift up your eyes on high, and see who hath created these, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and for that he is strong in power, not one is lacking." God wants us to see him through these stars. He's not in the stars, as some would believe. He created them. He wants us to realize just how powerful he is. He created them. God cannot be compared to anyone or anything because he knows everything. And he sustains this creation. He created it. He controls it. He sustains millions upon millions of stars, each one of which he amazingly has named. In Isaiah chapters 40 to 66, God is revealed as the creator and the maker. He doesn't want us to worship stars or read into stars about our future like astrology teaches us, and he gives us plenty of verses in the Bible to steer us away from those occultic type practices. He wants us to worship him. Amos 5:8 says, "Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadows of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, and calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name." Now, the psalmist also tells us that God has provided names for the stars, as well as known exactly how many there are. You know, he's clearly demonstrating his sovereign control over his creation. Psalm 147, verse 4 says, "He counteth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names." Isaiah 40:26 says, "Lift up your eyes on high, and see who hath created these, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might. And for that he is strong in power, not one is lacking." So since God's created the heavens and the stars as signs pointing to him, and his message for us should not be surprising that Satan has corrupted these along with the rest of God's creation. The specific signs that the stars have told have been obscured with satanic corruption. You know, the Jewish historian Josephus from the first century attributes the origin of astronomy, if you will, to Seth, the third male offspring of Adam after Cain and Abel. That comes from the Antiquities of the Jews, chapter 2, verse 3. Now, Seth was born when Adam was 130 years old. He further refers to Seth as virtuous and of excellent character, and he reports that his descendants invented the wisdom of the heavenly bodies. That was astronomy. The Hebrew word for the constellations is the Matzeroth. We see this word in the plain text of Scripture. It first appears as this word in Job chapter 38. Now, God here is having a discussion with Job, and in order to demonstrate Job's weakness as a man compared to the power of God, he uses the constellations as an example, because he says in 38, verses 31 to 33, "Can you bind the cluster of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Can you lead forth the Maseroth in their season, or can you guide the bear with her train? You know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you establish the dominion thereof in the earth?" In Job 9, verses 7 to 9, he writes, "That commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, that seals up the stars, that alone stretches out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, that maketh bare Orion, the Pleiades, in the chambers of the south. Job's the oldest book in the world. It was written during the period of the patriarchs who lived at the time of the events of the book of Genesis. It clearly shows that God had named the constellations by that time. Now, the zodiac of astrology was originally the Maseroth, Job 38. It just got corrupted. A lot of things did at the fall. And the worldwide communication disruption at the Tower of Babel caused it to be even more corrupt. Now, Satan is going to use any circumstances to corrupt what God's doing. He had willful servants in Nimrod and his followers attempting to reach for the heaven and not repopulate the earth, stay right there, not spread out in Mesopotamia. But it's important for us to realize that the signs of the Maseroth are not figures in the sky. They're actually a set of stars with names that mean the figure they describe. You know, we are not to follow the zodiac and its perverse soothsaying or fortune telling. However, we're instructed to be neither afraid of the message of the stars. Jeremiah 10, verses 1 to 6 say, "Hear the word of Jehovah, what he speaketh unto you, O house of Israel, thus saith Jehovah. Learn not the way of the nations. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the nations are dismayed at them. For the custom of the peoples are vanity. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, and the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe, they deck it with silver and gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. Like a palm tree of turned work and speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. They be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do good. There is none like unto thee, O Jehovah. Thou art great, and thy name is great." Again, the figures of the Maseroth are not figures in the sky. These are signs. So the lion and the Virgo, these are not connect the dots and make that image. Not at all. But if you look at the pictures, what astrology says the stars are, you have to have a very vivid imagination to see the pictures that they allegedly describe, because they're just simply not there. This is not a message that God created for the signs in the heaven. There are 12 constellations in the Maseroth, the original Maseroth, and each of them had three sub-constellations called decans. So there's a total of 48 sets of stars bringing forth God's message to us. Each constellation has a message, and so do each of the decans. It's the names of these stars and the star groupings through which he communicates his message. The problem we have discerning the message that has been corrupt for so long that we don't have accurate information regarding its nature. Now, the Hebrew Virgo is called Bethula, and it means a virgin who bears. And the names of the individual stars are the Tzemach, is a branch, the Hebrew Zavacheh, gloriously beautiful. The first deacon is Coma, the desired one. The second deacon is Centaurus, the despised. The third deacon, Buddhas, the coming one. Can you see the Lord Jesus in these names? Now, these names aren't used today. They're lost. The corruption causes some of the Hebrew words to be unavailable to us. For example, the constellation in Virgo explains that this coming branch will be a child, and he should be the desired of all nations. Now, the branch is a word that's used for the Messiah coming throughout the book of Zechariah. The ancient name for this constellation is Coma, the desired or the longed one, and we have the word used by God in Haggai 2:7, "The desired of all nations shall come." So the ancient zodiacs pictured this constellation as a woman with a child in her arms. Albumazar, was an Arabian astronomer of the 8th century, and he said there arises in the first deacon, as the Persians, the Chaldeans, and the Egyptians, and the two Hermas and Ascalius teach, a young woman whose Persian name denotes a pure virgin sitting on a throne, nourishing an infant boy, having a Hebrew name by some nations called Ehisu, with the signification Aiza, which in the Greek is called Christos, the Blessed One, or the Desire of All Nations. The ancient Egyptian name for this constellation was Sheshnu, the Desired Son. You know, some view the constellations of Coma, in which the Star of Bethlehem appeared. This was a traditional prophecy, well known in the East and carefully preserved and handed down, that a new star would appear in this sign when he whom it foretold should be born. That's from Numbers 24:17. I'd like to spend a few moments talking about the star that appeared to the Magi and what some folks have tried to explain this away as. You know, there's no shortage of people that look at our Bible and say, well, these things couldn't have happened, so therefore they didn't happen. That's kind of interesting. They weren't there. They didn't see it. And we have a record, a legal record of eyewitness accounts. It was a German astronomer, mathematician, and writer. His name was Johannes Kepler. And in 1607, he believed that he identified the Christmas star that guided the Magi, or the wise men, to where Jesus was born with a precise event and date. To Kepler, the Star of Bethlehem was a planetary conjunction of Jupiter, Mars, and Saturn in the evening sky. Now, Jupiter, Mars, and Saturn in the evening sky. You know, he described this as a means to close the approach of the planets in the sky. And with that close approach, it would have produced unusual lights. Others have struggled to find natural explanations for the star. You know, the fact that God controls all things at all times and all places leads us to look to Him for an explanation, not a natural explanation. It must be an appearance of the Shekinah glory, the presence, the visible manifestation of the presence of God in time and space. Now, in the Old Testament, the manifestation took the forms of light, a fire, or a cloud, or even including some combination of these things. He appears in the Old Testament in the following way. At the very least, I mean, there's many more appearances. I'm just going to list 8 in the Old Testament for you. In the Garden of Eden, is fellowshipping with Adam and Eve, meeting with Abraham as a smoking furnace, to Moses as a burning bush, and during the Exodus as a pillar of fire and a cloud. On Mount Sinai as a cloud, thunder, and lightning, as well as a trumpet. In a kind of a visible manifestation to Moses, said to be the Lord's back. Now, he was dwelling within the tabernacle and the temple, and lighting the brazen altar of the temple as fire coming down from heaven. And we see in Ezekiel him departing from the temple. Because of the sin that was taking place, he would not stay in the presence of Israel. He was leading the Babylonians to come in and take them to Babylon. In the New Testament, he appeared to the shepherds and the Magi as this Christmas star that we've been looking at. He also came in the flesh, in the body of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, his body is a presence of God in time and space on this earth. He is one of the manifestations of the Shekinah glory, God on this earth. The transfiguration as a white-lit Jesus the tongues of fire to the apostles, the bright light on the Damascus road to Paul, the smoke in the tribulation temple from Revelation 15:8, and at the second coming, Matthew 24:30, and in the millennial kingdom as the risen Jesus ruling the world, and in the eternal order as seen in Revelation 21, as the Lord that lights the new Jerusalem. You know, after the Shekinah glory appeared to the shepherds and they announced that the birth of Jesus the Messiah, it next appeared to the Magi. The star led them to Israel. It appeared to them on at least two occasions, and it led them from the east to the west and from the north to the south. And it finally stood over the very house where the child Jesus was, and was unique to Jesus and no other. Coming in the form of special light, this was a physical manifestation of the Shekinah glory, announcing the birth of the Messiah to a group of Gentiles from Babylonia. I'm so blessed that you could join us, and I just pray if you're looking for a church home that you would consider the Pentwater Bible Church. We are temporarily meeting in the Comfort Inn at the corner of Highway 31 and the Oceana exit. We meet there every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and we teach the Bible on a line-by-line basis. We sing some hymns, we pray, we fellowship, we have potluck dinners, and we enjoy each other's presence, and the study of God's Word is at the center of our church. There is nothing more important to us than this study of God's Word. If you want a copy of these notes from the last two messages, I'd be happy to send them to you. Call me at 1-877-706-2479, or write us at Post Office Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. That's Post Office Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. God bless you, and I look forward to being with you in our next session.
To you listening, it is our prayer that this Bible study has been edifying and a blessing to you. Completely underwritten by the Pentwater Bible Church, we do not solicit your financial support, but would appreciate your call to the radio station you are listening and let them know if you'd like these messages to continue. Or you may call us at our toll-free number, 877-706-2479. That's 877-706-2479. We would be pleased to send you a complete set of notes of today's message at no cost. Simply call us with your request, leaving your name and address, and they'll be mailed to you. If you prefer, you may write us at P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. That address again is P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. You're invited to join us as we study the Bible in our service each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at our temporary location in the Pentwater Room of the Comfort Inn, located at the intersection of Highway 31 at the Oceana exit. Be sure to listen next week as Dr. Woodhead presents another teaching message from the Bible, the Word of God.